So I will start with the first talk. Myself, Sujit Verma, I am a research coordinator, biological scientist with Dr. Vance Whitaker in the University of Florida at BOM, GCRDC. I assist Dr. Vance in the genetic analysis of strawberry data and different projects and QTL analysis, genetic mapping, and genomic selection as well. For the genomic selection part, Dr. Salvador Hezan and Luis Osorio are the main researchers who are leading this project, and I am assisting him and learning at the same time about all the genetic models and what this means for a polyploid crop. And of course, Vance is supervising all of us. So today I'm going to talk about genomic selection for complex traits in strawberry. This slide, this picture is a standard graph for any genomic selection model where you train your population, you genotype your population, and you at the same time you have a validation population or a test population, and you genotype your test population as well. What you do with your training population, you phenotype, and you don't phenotype your test population. And then you try to predict the best possible phenotype using your genetic model and genotypic data in the test population or a validation population. There could be two different types of validation, a cross-validation using the same data set, or it could be a true validation where you use an independent population to really predict the model. And then you make your selections based on those. So today I'm going to summarize the entire project in four different research objectives. The first one is to explore GS models using true validation, and then the effect of adding multiple training cycles, then testing different marker sampling methods, whether it's a random or based on physical distance or something else, and then testing the potential of within family selection using genomic selection models. So starting with the first one, to explore GS methods. This is a traditional UF breeding cycle, which takes around 3 years from one crossing to another. So for example, in 2013, there's a cross. In next year, all the seedlings or thousands of seedlings are planted in the trial. We collect phenotypic data, and then we pick, Vance picks some of them and advance to an advanced stage next year. And then again, we have a highly replicated trials. We collect data on those, and then he can pick one or two for as a parent for next year's cross. But with the genotypic data and the SNP array and the genotypic models, genomic selections, we are hoping we can get that information a year ahead and then use that as a tool to really predict the best possible seedlings or as a parent so that we can advance them for crossing. So for the first research topic, we had two different years of advanced trials, and it was randomly RCBD design, and two different years of advanced selections. So we collected all the phenotypic data on these 2 years of trials for average weight, for soluble solids, for early marketable yield, total marketable yield, and total culled fruit. There were a total of more than 1,600 tested individuals on the field, and we genotyped all the individuals as well. And we adjusted phenotypic data because based on the raw and the column effect and all other missing values. We tested different genomic selection methods, pBLUP, gBLUP, BaseB, BaseC, and RKHS. We primarily used ASRML, BGLR software package for genomic selection modeling and training the population, and we use the true validation instead of cross-validation for validation. Again, we genotyped all our sample using ISTRO 90 and ISTRO 35 data SNP array, and a total of 17,500 SNP marker were utilized as a polymorphic to make these models and predictions. This is the only slide which has the formulas, but no other slide will have other formulas. But the important But the importance of this slide is these are two basic criteria that we use to actually evaluate the models and the prediction. The first one was the predictive ability, which is basically the correlation of your observed phenotypic data and your predicted phenotypic data. Second one is the efficiency of parental selection, which is basically a genetic gain, which is genetic gain just using markers and the predicted value using marker plus phenotypic data. And if you have intensity of selection 5% or 10%, what kind of gain you receive overall. These are the two basic methodology we use to evaluate our models and predictions. This is the first result of evaluation of GS models. We used, again, the advanced selection. So when we use year one as a training population and predicted for year two, for using all these five methods, Bayes B was the one that came out to be the best possible model that can, you know, explain the best way. And GBLUB was also somewhat close to Bayes B. In some cases, RKHS was better, but if I go into the detail of the math of that model, it captures some of the non-additive variance as well, which is hard to explain. So we stick with the two best ones, which is GBLUB and Bayes B. And you can see consistently it predicted, the predictive ability was like best was for average weight and then SSC. But it was for Bayes B and GBLUB, it was also good for total marketable yield and total curl. So when we compare the genetic gain of parental selection for 5% versus 10%, again, we can only compare the two models, GBLUB and Bayes B, because they had the different attributes which covers the most of the areas that we want to predict. So average, we didn't see any big differences in the predictive abilities and the genetic gains. For average weight, it was Bayes B was slightly higher when we had the 10% parental selection efficiency. And for soluble solid and for total curl and total marketable yield as well, Bayes B was actually slightly better than GBLUB. But overall, the difference was not really strong for one as compared to other. Then we said, okay, what if we add more training population in our model? So right now I showed you we used 1 year of data to predict another year. So now we have multiple years of data accumulated in our breeding program. So we thought, what if we add, we increase our training population and then predict the validation population and see what if this makes a difference. So we started to build up our training population larger and larger. So for we actually added 3 years of advanced selections, 2013, 14, and 15 as a training population, and then predicted the next year, which is 16. We collected all phenotypic data and again genotyped all the individuals using ISTO35 array, and we used almost 9,900 polymorphic SNF marker to train our model and the predict as well. So this is the first result, what we observed when we use only 1 year, first year of data to predict fourth year. The predictive abilities were minimum, and we gradually added 1 year over another year over third year. The predictive ability consistently increased when we increase our training population. So this goes to show that if we have a larger training population, we will be able to improve our predictive abilities and we can make larger genetic gains, because that's a function of your predictive ability. Now the other challenge that we faced was the marker sampling method. There are different methods that people do, which is sometimes it's random, sometimes based on minor allele frequency, sometimes based on your equal even distribution across the genome. But we tried to test all three and see what we get. So I guess, as I said, we used three different methods. First was using the ordered marker allele frequency from high to low. And then second was evenly spaced marker based on physical map. And the third was random sampling. This is the result, and we realized that when we reached the 1,000 marker threshold, the first which was based on minor allele frequency, we had the best not the best, but almost best prediction, predictability. But after that, as we added more marker, more and more, the predictability did not improve after 1,000 markers. Now we tried to do the same with the another method, which is random sampling, and we found a similar thing. Although there was little difference, but again, when we hit the 1,000 marker point, again, the predictability did not improve significantly, even we increased the number of markers. Now the final point is to pick, to test these genetic models within family. What this means is, if like Vance has several crosses over each year, but he had a 4 or 5 crosses, which is a really good cross that he thinks, and he wants to pick a single seedling out of that cross, so that he can advance those good seedlings to a next stage as fast as possible. So for that, we had six different families, large families, 75 seedlings each family, which is, this is the first time we are doing, but in future, I think he's going to increase family size to maybe 2,000, or maybe more than that. But six families were genotyped and phenotyped, not phenotyped, genotyped, with ISO 30 markers, and 8,000 polymorphic markers were used to predict the model. This is the cross design. So the sixth family comes out of here. So this is the full sieve A cross B, and these are the half sieves of parent A and parent B. So these four families were used as a training population to predict A, to cross A and B. So total of 300 samples as a training population, and then we used the 75 seedlings from the test population to predict the best out of those. This was the first result that we got for predictive ability. So those six families were families 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, and 75. And if you look at the average predictive ability for all the four traits, you will see that the family 14 was above the mean average of all the traits. So for example, average weight, the mean was 0.28, but the family 14 was 31.31. In general, family 14 was better predicted as compared to the average of all the traits. And if you have a 10% of intensity of selection, then genetic gain was like 8% over the mean of the population. I know it's hard to imagine, but you know that's how we calculate this stuff. So currently, we have reduced 1 year to our 3-year cycle from one cross to another cross. So now we can apply the genomic selection model at the seedling stage when we have made the crosses and they are on the field. We're still collecting the phenotypic data, but at the same time, we can predict the best potential seedlings out of those, and we can actually use those seedlings to make crosses at the same year, I mean next year, because our season goes from November to March, so you know we have 2 years of overlap. So some future work for recommendation that genomic selection using low density SNP array. So what that means is there are several papers, there are several already people have done in animal science and on humans that they have used a low density array and they have imputed back to the high density array using really good, well informed SNP marker. So we are planning to develop a low density array using all the information we have, and then we're going to impute back to the parent level. In this case, all the parents are screened through high density array, but all the progeny will be screened through the low density array, which will be a cheaper version, maybe $10, $20, we don't know. We're going to test a lot of imputation methods, and eventually we're going to implement GS models using those information. With that, I would like to acknowledge Dr. Salvador Hezan. If you have any mathematical modeling question or any core question or any burning question, I would like to send him the email. And I would like to thank my incredible team that worked, do a great job collecting all the data and working in the lab and a lot of things. I would like to thank our sponsors and the participating organization from the Rosebreed 2. All other funding sources, our international partners, and I will take any question. For this point, I have 15 seconds left. Yes, Kassania. Right. So the question is, do I have same samples that was phenotyped every year when I had a multiple year training model? So the question is yes and no. So the yes is, we have a control cultivar, so very well-known control cultivars, which we plant every year as a control. But in general, every different year, we have all unique crosses. Yeah, yeah. Any other question? Yes. How I would define, let's see. So I don't know if I get the question correctly, but I think the selection trial, we have a design, basically randomized complete block design you have, or randomized block design you have multiple reps and blocks. So in general, in advanced selection, we increase the replications and the blocks so that the average we get is more realistic, as compared to the ceiling trial, where we don't have as much replication power as we have in advanced selections.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, I think